Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guests are Leslie Ridge Allen, Amanda Kachurka, and Jordan Fuller from the Erie Regional Chamber and Growth Partnership. Guys, thanks so much for joining us. Let's start with Leslie Ridge Allen, who's the Director of Business Engagement at the Erie Regional Chamber and Growth Partnership. Leslie, what is a Chamber of Commerce exactly, and what kind of work do you do there?
Sure. So a Chamber of Commerce is exactly as it sounds. It is a place or a space to exchange goods and services. It's really there to promote and protect interests of the business community in a particular region. And it's funny, chambers have been around, I think, a lot longer than people realize. The first chamber goes all the way back to the 1500s in France. And since that time, it's continued to be a place for business leaders to gather, exchange information, and to do business with one another. So the types of work that we really do, So the Erie Regional Chamber is leading Erie's economic evolution, and we do it kind of in three main ways, through awareness, through advocacy, and through access to people, information, and education that businesses need to succeed in modern economic climate. And we're a regional chamber. I think people often think that we are a city-only chamber because there are a couple other chambers in the region that focus on Northeast and Girard and Corey, but our organization is truly a regional chamber, and we represent the entire region kind of aligning with the labor shed. So we go a little bit into Ohio, a little bit into New York, and a little further down south than just Erie County. And we operate a little bit differently than other local chambers in that we have a huge economic development component to what we do. And that focuses kind of on four areas of business attraction, business retention and expansion, startups and entrepreneurship, as well as workforce development.
The Erie Regional Chamber has undergone a lot of changes over the last year. Could you tell us about the team on board?
I'd love to. Our team is really, James Grunke, who's been our CEO now since August of 2018, has really done a tremendous job at identifying individuals in our community who are really passionate and very committed to the rebirth, the revival, the transformation that's on the horizon for Erie, and that's really palpable and very much in our future. So the team is, led by James. He came to us from Missoula, Montana, where he helped bring over 10,000 new jobs to the region. He attracted nearly $1 billion in capital investment. Just really made some great progress in that community. And he brought something to us, that we announced last year at the end of the year at our annual meeting, which was Erie Forward. And that's really, the first initiative that our chamber has done in recent history to truly fund economic development and do a lot of that business attraction, entrepreneurship, and workforce development kind of work. And that's all being led internally by Jake Rao, who's our VP of Economic Development. Jake is kind of overseeing, the whole process of Erie Forward. We've had two really great successes already in that with the Competitive Realities Report. So now for the first time, Erie and our group will be kind of leading the charge on identifying businesses that fall within six target industries that our community is really well positioned to pursue. We also recently completed a workforce development delivery assessment, which looks at a whole, how do we connect talent in our community to employers? And so now we're starting to make progress on the steps that need to be done to really strengthen that system. Brett Weiler came on board as our Director of Capital Formation, and he was really charged with opportunity zones early on and how can we make Erie a community that's leading in that area. And then we brought on Amy Murdoch, who's the Director of Government Affairs, and she's done a fantastic job educating and engaging elected officials, as well as opening doors to municipalities when businesses have a question or need clarification on a zoning issue or other kind of permitting issues that they might experience. So that's kind of our economic development team. I manage the business action team, so we're responsible for doing annual visits with regional employers to really understand what their opportunities and challenges are. We brought on Amanda Kachurka and Amanda Duncan. Amanda Kachurka oversees all programs, which really align with professional development for employees, trainings that businesses may need, as well as identifying trends on a national and global scale, and really provides an outlet for businesses here to make sure that they are following best practices and doing things well now to set the foundation to make some strategic moves or break into new markets. And most recently, we've brought on Jordan Fuller, who was previously at the Innovation District. We kind of have absorbed some aspects of the Erie Innovation District, which I know he'll be talking about later. And he'll be responsible for running the Secure Erie Accelerator Program, which is a great program focused on bringing outside companies to our community with a focus on technology. So there's a lot of exciting and new energy at the chamber that will hopefully appeal to a lot of the businesses here in the community and perhaps give us a second chance or a second look and getting involved in all of the great work that we have going on.
What are the benefits of chamber membership?
So, you know, I've been doing this for a little over a year now, and it's funny. Smaller businesses think that we have a tendency to forget about them, but they actually make up 60% of our membership. And then larger businesses think that there isn't a way that we can help them, but they're not aware of all of the economic development work that we're doing that really affect, you know, their ability to be successful depending on, you know, who we bring in through business attraction or kind of what we're doing with retention and expansion. So there's something for everybody, I think, first and foremost, when you're talking about the benefits of a chamber. But to me, it really falls in kind of three areas. Number one is our three core services. So we offer access, awareness, and advocacy. You know, so advocacy is done through our government affairs team. If you're having an issue and you need someone to liaison between your organization and the government, we're able to do so. We've had many businesses need to ask questions, for example, about environmental issues, perhaps on their property, and they didn't want to make the direct call to the Department of Environmental Protection. They're able to do so through us. So the benefit of membership there, it offers a little bit of, you know, anonymous information seeking, if you will. Through general awareness, we're able to understand the pressing issues that our businesses are facing and then do some education around them. And we've also, you know, there's a huge marketing component to the chamber as well that's a benefit of chamber membership. You're able to tell people who you are, what you do, and how you can help them through a variety of free services that we provide. So it's a great way, particularly for new businesses, to kind of get their name out there. In that same vein, we provide access, and we do this through networking opportunities. We do this through professional development for owners and employees alike. And then we do this through select member services like affinity programs and advertising opportunities. So I would say those kind of service areas are the first big and main benefit of chamber membership. But the other two things that I think are important is that, you know, businesses recognize that our business is their business, meaning we're here to help them. And so when you become a chamber member, you essentially are adding 14 people to your team, you know, 14 for the price of one, if you will. Not even, I think, is a really tremendous deal, all with their own specialty. And it's our job to really eliminate the three pain points that most businesses go through, right? It's either a pain point in time, in energy, or in cost. And by connecting with the chamber and being a chamber member, you're allowed to cut out a lot of that waste because we often have the answers or can make a direct referral, saving you a lot of time and a lot of headache in doing that research yourself. And then lastly, I'd like to say we're like a business's own personal bat phone, right? But instead of getting Batman on the other end, you're getting that team of 14 people who, if you have a question or you have an issue, you can pick up the phone, and we are that one-stop shop into the economic development system here locally, and we can find those answers for you. So again, kind of going back to the point before that your business is our business, we're really able to save businesses a lot of time, energy, and money and kind of spinning their wheels by providing them a very clear path to get from where they are to where they want to be.
How did being a chamber member benefit companies during the pandemic?
Sure. So, you know, the pandemic really presented, I think, interesting challenges for all of us. And again, we were able to serve our membership and the businesses of the community in those three same ways. So on the awareness side, we had an online, and we still have an online business resource guide that we're updating every time there is a definitive piece of information that businesses need to know. Again, we felt it was really important for businesses to not waste time searching. So we wanted to provide a cumulative, collective space, if you will, online where they could go and get the most pressing and most recent information. We held virtual town halls where we listened to the needs of businesses so that we could take that information back and ensure we were doing all of the advocacy and access work that we needed to do to bring resources to the most affected industries in the wake of the pandemic. And then we released something that really took off in a way that we weren't expecting it to, and that was the daily briefing, which was a morning email series where we were just putting out the last most important news in a 24-hour kind of window so that business owners, again, didn't have to waste time deciphering the news of the day to determine what they needed to pay attention to. They could just read that daily briefing in less than 5 minutes and get back to work. And then we were able to take all of that information that we were finding in those formats, and we could advocate back to our local delegation and elected officials so that they knew exactly what businesses were experiencing. And so that as an economic development system, we're able to grow and make sure that moving forward, no business is getting, you know, left behind or falling through the cracks in terms of knowing about things like the Paycheck Protection Program or the EIDL loans that were going out through the SBA. And the other thing that we did that was a huge benefit to companies during that pandemic, we hosted over 30-plus programs to make sure that businesses could wrap their heads around the strategic changes that they would need to make to account for the pandemic going forward, because it's arguably going to change the way that we do business for quite some time. The business action team connected with over 2,000 businesses in our area since March. And to give people some perspective, we usually engage anywhere from 250 to 400 businesses a year. So in a quarter of the time, we had a 400% increase in the volume of businesses that we were communicating with. And we were able to assist about 70% of them, getting them connected to something like the PPP program or a different loan program or health guidelines specific to their industry. We were able to do that in a really quick amount of time because of all of the work that we had been doing as a team under kind of this new chamber that we've had emerging over the last year.
If a business is considering chamber membership, what's one thing you would want them to know about being a member?
Sure. So I think of everything we've talked about today, if there's one takeaway for a business in regards to chamber membership, is that line about, you know, your business is our business. And joining the chamber is like hiring those 14 additional people whose sole purpose is to create a positive, robust economic environment for your business to thrive. And for anyone who would be interested in joining or just wants to learn more, I would invite them to check out our website, www.eriepa.com, or by calling the main office, 814-454-7191, and speaking to myself. My name again is Leslie Ridge Allen, or Steve Walters, who is our membership director. Either of us would be happy to share more information about the Erie Regional Chamber, the great work that we're doing, and why being a part of it is a great piece of business for them to consider.
Leslie, thanks so much for your time. Let's bring in Amanda Kachurka, who's the program director at the Erie Regional Chamber and Growth Partnership. Amanda, what programs do you have coming up through the rest of July?
Sure. I'll talk a little bit about the webinars that we have coming up. And we have two that are coming up in the next couple of weeks. So we have for the next week, I guess I should say. So on the 22nd, we're actually partnering with the Procurement Technical Assistance Center, PTAC. They are presenting the second part of a two-part program that they started back in June on doing business with the Defense Logistics Agency. So I think, you know, this is an area that's probably a bit more specific to certain businesses that are interested in government contracting. So the Defense Logistics Agency actually manages the global supply chain for the military, for 11 different combatant commands, some other federal agencies. They provide more than $42 billion in goods and services annually. They acquire items from manufacturers and suppliers and then provide them to the Department of Defense and other federal and regional customers. They also look at services like warehousing, packaging, transportation. So there's a lot of opportunities for businesses that are interested in getting into working with the government. So this session on the 22nd is really geared toward helping people understand what it takes to become a successful bidder for Defense Logistics Agency bidding. So the presenter is going to be Robin Young, who is the government contracting manager for PTAC, and she's going to walk through step-by-step sort of, you know, what you need to have in place to be able to be a successful bidder, what sort of information they look for when they're reviewing proposals, how to put together a proposal. So really a comprehensive program on how to become a successful bidder with a Defense Logistics Agency. And the nice thing about PTAC is the government contracting manager, Robin, that's presenting the session, she also is available to meet with businesses one-on-one. So if a business attends the session and says, you know what, I really want to learn more about this, maybe you missed the first session back in June and you want to catch up on what you missed, or if you have additional questions that are specific to your business, Robin's really able to sit down and talk through all of that with you. So a lot of value there for the webinar. And then the other program is actually the following day. So we have a webinar coming up that is geared toward looking at different formats of employee ownership. So the webinar itself is looking at employee ownership as an alternative for economic growth and prosperity. This webinar is really going to be good for businesses that are maybe thinking about retirement. You know, if business owners are getting to the point where they say, you know what, I know I'm not going to do this forever, so what are my next steps? Maybe those who have heard about employee ownership and are curious to learn a little bit more, or those who are thinking about their big business's legacy and the employee's security once they're no longer involved in the business. So if any of those areas sound like something that you'd be interested in, I would definitely encourage you to attend this webinar. We got, as our presenter, we have the employee ownership guy. His name is Kevin McPhillips. He's the executive director and CEO of the Pennsylvania Center for Employee Ownership. And he goes over different types of employee ownership structure, including ESOPs and co-ops, and how they can really benefit businesses and ultimately the employees long into the future. I was with Kevin when he recorded the session. We actually recorded it a while ago, and then the pandemic hit, so we ended up deciding we were going to run it a little bit later. So lots of great content, and Kevin has made himself available to answer questions after the fact. So if anybody listens to the webinar and wants more information about employee ownership or is even interested in sort of taking those first steps, Kevin has made himself available to sort of guide people through that process. So that's what we have coming up webinar-wise.
In the past, you've mentioned a diversity and inclusion program series. Are there plans of that being offered again?
Yes. So unfortunately, again, timing was not on our side for this. So we had our first session, which was presented by Tisha Nesbitt-Arrington from Erie Insurance. She walked the participants through understanding things like unconscious bias and developing an understanding of why creating a diversity and inclusion strategy for their business was so important to them. You know, it's just good business practice to do that, but also it's more likely to be carried through if the business owner has a personal connection and really understands their own personal reasoning for why they think it's important. So that was our first session, was held back in, oh, I think February, and then again, pandemic. So we are finally getting back on track, and we're excited to have a presenter joining us for this next session, Dr. Paul Spradley. He's from Pittsburgh. He and his wife have been doing a lot of work in this space for a very long time and understandably are very busy now. I think as more businesses are interested in developing diversity, equity, and inclusion strategies for their own companies. So this next session is really going to take a look at how businesses can involve their employees in the process and really make diversity, equity, and inclusion part of their culture. So that seems, I think, probably like a big undertaking for a lot of business owners, especially if you don't have any experience in that area. So what Dr. Spradley is going to do is really break that down and make it more digestible for the business owners so they can understand what steps they should be taking. And we do plan to continue the series. It'll probably go into next year. And I would anticipate that this is something for the foreseeable future that we run on a regular basis, just this four-part series. So, part three is going to be looking at some of the local resources that we have available to us here in Erie. And then the fourth part is really looking at tying that all together and making this a long-term initiative for your company. So really excited to get that started. We're hoping, waiting for date confirmation from Dr. Spradley, but we're looking at probably mid-August for that to restart. So information on that will be coming soon.
The Masterclass series was also paused because of the pandemic. Will that resume soon?
It will, and somewhat aggressively, actually, and not necessarily by design. It just sort of happened that way. So we're actually in the middle of a masterclass right now. The masterclasses, when we had one in person back in January, was a single three-hour session. We don't expect anyone to sit in front of their computer for 3 hours at a time, so we've decided to split it into three separate one-hour sessions that are held once per week. So we had our first networking masterclass session last week. We have another one this week on the 15th, and then the final one will be on the 29th. Now, the nice part about this is we are recording these sessions, so if for some reason someone missed the first two sessions, because you're paying for all three sessions up front, we're able to provide the recordings of the first two sessions as well as the activities that were completed in those sessions after the fact. So if people register a little bit late, that's okay. They'll still get the content that they paid for. And it's a really interesting session presented by Brian Slaywin and Courtney Stedding on really best practices of networking, focusing very heavily on active listening, very important part of networking, and then also providing some insight into sort of this new networking environment that we're in with many of these events occurring virtually. And then we have two other master classes coming up. Dates will be determined soon. One will be on leadership, organizational leadership, and that's going to be presented by Chris Harbin, who's a professor at Penn State Barrett. And then we have one on company culture that's going to be presented by Elizabeth Cipolla from Decision Associates with assistance from Aaron Green and Sarah Wurst of Verify Services. So those are all going to be happening within the next 2 to 3 months. So we're having a pretty aggressive schedule as far as the masterclass goes, but I'm really excited about it. It's going to be good.
Finally, Amanda, and thanks again for your time. Can you give us an update on the Erie Ambassador Program?
Yes. So as many people know, we run the Erie Ambassador class 2 times a year, typically in the spring and in the fall. So obviously the spring session was canceled. And after talking with a lot of our presenters, they're just not at a point yet where they're comfortable having a large group of people from outside their organization coming physically into their business, which is really the value of the Ambassador Program, if you ask anyone who's gone through it, is getting to see sort of that behind-the-scenes look at different companies throughout our community. So because we don't want to miss out on that part, you know, we could very easily deliver that content virtually, but I just don't think it would have the same impact. So we are putting the Ambassador Program on hold until 2021, where we hope we'll be able to get that up and running again in the spring with the slate of presenters that we had for this year, which was we were very, very excited about. So I'm hopeful that we can carry that over into 2021. And in the meantime, for people who are looking for some leadership training, we would definitely recommend that they check out our leadership masterclass when we have that ready.
Let's transition to Jordan Fuller, who's the director of Secure Erie Accelerator at the Erie Regional Chamber and Growth Partnership. Jordan, let's jump right into it. What is the Secure Erie Accelerator?
The Secure Erie Accelerator is an annual short-term business development program that provides a cohort of startup companies with some early funding, a specially tailored curriculum, and business opportunities in the Erie area. The goal of the program is to attract outside businesses to establish roots in the city of Erie, as well as support and grow local companies. In the past, we've run two cohorts of the Secure Erie Accelerator with representatives from all around the world that in many cases had not even heard of Erie. We have worked with local companies and organizations like Velocity Network, Erie Insurance, Plastech, and the local universities to put together a series of 10-week programs for these companies that has included partnership, investment, and business opportunities.
What is an accelerator program?
So typically, an accelerator program is a short-term program that runs from about 6 to 15 weeks and is highly intensive with the goal of quickly accelerating a startup company's growth through a variety of different means: investment, customer acquisition, partnership, and mentoring opportunities. Accelerator programs tend to focus on specific areas or industries like manufacturing, insurance, medical, et cetera, in order to provide the most value to those startups that are participating, as well as the established business community that is looking for new business opportunities. In 2018, the Secure Erie Accelerator was focused on smart cities and general technology. During that program, we partnered with the City of Erie, Erie Insurance, Velocity Network, and Paradigm IT, and we had 9 companies participate in that program. In 2019, the SEA was focused on manufacturing and defense. And during that program, we partnered with Plastech, Erie Insurance, as well as a number of other groups like the Manufacturing and Business Authority and the NWIRC.
What is the focus of the program this year?
So in 2020, we are focusing on general technology, but given the light of recent events, we're going to be giving extra points to companies that are addressing the issues that have been brought to light by COVID-19. This year, we're partnering with the Erie Regional Chamber and Growth Partnership to run the program with an extra focus on accelerating and supporting local and regional startups in the area.
Why should a company apply for an accelerator program?
So outside of the investment funds that the participants receive, which is always nice, the companies also go through a specifically designed curriculum that is based off of their gap areas, whether that's marketing, legal, business development, et cetera. And they also have access to the Secure Erie Accelerator Alumni Network, as well as the Erie Regional Chamber of Growth Partnerships Network of Partner Companies. This comes together to mean access to potential customers, pilot programs, sponsors, and additional capital investment. The boost in credibility that companies receive from participating in a program like the SEA makes them a more attractive target for potential investors and customers.
Jordan, last question. What have graduates from the program gone on to do?
So over the last 2 years, we've had 16 graduates from the program. Since graduating, they've gone on to raise over $16 million of funding, averaging over $1 million a company. They've added hundreds of new customers and users, as well as going on to participate in major programs like Y Combinator and Techstars, and also growing beyond that to do business with many organizations listed on the Fortune 500, companies like Western Union, Grubhub, and several branches of the United States military. In addition to growing their business on a national scale, several of our graduates have established and grown business roots here in Erie, whether that's moving portions of their operations here, hiring staff members, or having anchor and reference customers in the city. These are all people that before the program have not even heard of Erie, let alone visited. So it's pretty exciting to bring these people that are from outside of town to come and do business here in Erie.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as Logistics Plus is in the Business Spotlight.